Hey everyone, we were out last week with a cold going through our house, but we're back and excited to recap episode 8 of Tar 36. I'm Emma.
I'm Evie.
And I'm Adam.
And welcome back to the Tar Pit Podcast.
And we are starting in Bridgetown, Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And they are beginning at the Swing Bridge in Barbados.
It's interesting that the town is called Bridgetown, but there's only two bridges in town.
That's true. Yeah, they did make the point of saying that there was only two bridges. It's a quite a small island, from what I understand, and they are starting at Swing Bridge, and they are going in three waves still, but this time, because we're narrowed down to six teams, there's two teams per wave. So the first wave is Cesar and Ricky and Angie and Danny, and the second wave is Rod and Leticia and Vinny and Amber, and the third wave leaves Shane and Juan and
Yvonne and Melissa,
right. And we remember last time that Shane and Juan had food poisoning.
Yeah.
Or Juan had food poisoning. Yeah. So that kind of pushed them back a little bit. He was struggling. So they're in the third wave now. So they are there. They have to get in the car. This is all self-drive again because we're, again, post-COVID. This is the season that's post-COVID. And I know that that's really throwing people off because there's a lot of negative comments on social media and the different fan groups about this season. And people are taking it out kind of on the teams, I feel like. But a lot of these things that people are complaining about being in South America so much, and they are out of South America, but being there so much and being in Spanish-speaking countries and different things that people are complaining about really have a lot to do with this being the season that came back after COVID. And so they were trying to reduce, I think, global travel. And also what we found out after speaking with some of the teams is that they were all sort of in quarantine or sequestered a little bit. So they couldn't really interact a ton with each other during downtime because they were trying to prevent the spread of COVID at the time. So I think that people are getting frustrated with some of those logistics, not remembering that this is actually season 35. And what we watched last fall was season 36, where things had opened up more. So it feels like we're taking a step back and people are frustrated. I think taking some of that frustration out on the teams on social media when they're complaining about teams. But as we said, they're starting in Swing Bridge in Barbados, and Angie and Danny are in that first wave. And something that stood out to me a lot is
Ricky and Cesar helped Danny and Angie with direction.
Right. Well, they left and Danny was like, let's follow them.
Which was surprising because Danny's usually like the navigation leader. Like he's the one helping other people. He's the one that other people are following because they know that he's going to get to the right destination.
Right. And that was surprising. That was something right off the bat. I was like, what's going on there? Because usually he's such a navigation powerhouse. Why would he follow them?
And Danny just said they have a good idea of where they're going. But then Cesar, they like switched to their car and Cesar just said, I'm a little lost.
Yeah, and they actually did have trouble, right? Cesar and Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little frustration brewing from them when they first left. And that was probably the most that we've seen them argue, which really wasn't really an argument, but I guess the most for them so far.
They get along so well.
Yeah, they do a really good job of being very aware that the camera's on when there's tension, and also the way that just being very aware and supporting each other. I think it's really cool. The other thing that I forgot to mention is that they are self-driving and they are in Jeeps with the tops off.
And then it started storming.
It's sprinkling at first, but as the drive goes and as the three different waves of teams leave, the rain picks up and it becomes a downpour.
It's like a monsoon.
Yeah, and some of the teams stop to put on the top of their Jeep because it was just so much. And Juan did a turn, and you can see this big gush of water come through his window and just splash him, and he was soaked.
And through one of the team's windows, you saw that the roads were almost flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. There was a lot going on. So they were in the Jeeps, and the other thing that I noticed that was kind of nice is during the takeoff, when they were leaving the starting point, there were a lot of confessionals that they had, mm-hmm, between the teams where they were talking about relationships.
Yeah.
So, because they'll have confessionals, of course, but all of them, in a lot of ways, seem to be focused on their relationships. And some of them, as we said before, we're talking about this being a test for their relationship, and they want to do something more in the future with their relationship. And this would be a good way to, you know, to sort of find growth. But it seems like this would be a really hard way to do that.
Yeah, because like, what if you just don't get along on that? In that particular environment, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that would be a really hard way to approach the race, I think. So they have to leave from Swing Bridge and they have to go to road tennis, to a roadblock. Who wants to get in the swing of things? And it's road tennis, which it kind of really looks, I guess, a little bit like road pickleball or road ping pong, I guess you would say.
It's like pickleball, kind of, but there's no net. It's just like a wooden block thing on the ground.
And it's low, so it kind of reminds me of like a ping pong net that's mm-hmm. really low. Yeah.
So it's like a mix between ping pong and pickleball.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. I guess you'd say that. And they had different courts set up on the street, and they had to go. And when they got there, they had to find a player to play against. And so they had to pick a player to play against, and the Amazing Race person had to score 11 points against this player before mm-hmm. they could move on.
Yes. Ricky was really good at it. He won before anyone else even got there.
Yeah, he did a really good job. They were first, and he did a really good job.
And a little side note, I was sneezing, and I sneezed 11 times, so I was like, 11 times for Ricky's 11 points.
And then also we had Angie after Danny and Angie got there, and she was a tennis coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this whole time they have been having Angie do a little bit more of the roadblocks, because in the end they have to even out depending on how far you make it. But if you make it to the end, they have to even out.
And the last roadblocks are usually the hardest or the most physical.
Right. And so I think they were saving those for Danny. So it was nice. And Angie even said, you know, like, I can do this. I can do this one. I used to coach tennis when I was...
She was good at it, too. Yeah.
And so I was just playing and coach tennis. And she did a really good job. Mm-hmm. She slammed it. Yvonne did it for their team. Lakeisha did it.
Yvonne was like, I picked that guy because he had glasses, so he couldn't see the ball or the lines.
I know. That was so funny. And also...
she struggled.
The other smart thing, too, that kind of clicked for me afterwards was that it was good to pick someone with glasses because it was rainy, right? Yes. And that might sort of fog up or be
like
hard to see.
Like get the water
droplets
on it.
Yeah, be hard to see. And Leticia did it for their team. And
Leticia
Vinny
was struggling.
Yes, she was.
Leticia, Yvonne, and Vinny were all.
Yeah. Ricky, though, mentioned having a hitting strategy, which I thought was really smart.
Hit it towards the sharper angles.
Yeah, once he started warming up, he's like, I'm going to try to hit it right in the corners so it makes it harder for the other person to get to.
Or just over the net so it was lower, mm-hmm. but also you do farther back, so then they have to back up, and then he did like closer.
Yeah, he would alternate, so it makes him kind of work for it or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a smart approach. Also, Juan played for their team. And yes. That was funny because when he got there, he said, which one is the best one? And I think he probably thought they had to work with an instructor instead mm-hmm. of play against somebody. But that was pretty funny. But Ricky and Yvonne did well. Angie did really well for their team.
Leticia struggled.
Yeah. But Rod was very supportive, though, of her. Mm-hmm. And he was cheering her on. And Vinny did okay.
But Amber was very supportive of him.
She was, yep.
But then when Amber like doesn't do perfectly, like she does fine, but it's not perfect, then Vinny gets mad and starts yelling.
Yeah, and so Amber's super supportive of Vinny when he doesn't do great. But then when Amber messes up once, Vinny just starts yelling at her.
So they are playing, and once the Amazing Race player gets 11 points on the other person, the mm-hmm. expert, then they get their card and they open up the envelope, and it tells them they have to drive to Rihanna's house.
Rihanna's birthplace.
Yes, to her birthplace where she grew up. So they go to Riri's.
Angie didn't know who Rihanna was.
And on the way during the little spotlights and venues, Angie was like, oh, who's that? And
who's Rihanna?
The funnier part, though, was not even that she didn't know who she was. it was Danny, who's younger.
Danny knew who she was, but
he was like, oh, name a song. Yeah, and he just could not think of one. I'm like, oh, dude, you're pretty young. You should be able to think of something, especially since it's raining. I mean, they can think of, what is it, Umbrella?
Yeah.
And also, Angie was like, sing me one. And he's like, come on, Danny Butler. Why can't you think of a Rihanna song?
Yeah, that was funny. He kind of realized that he was having a little bit of
a
brain malfunction.
Fart.
Yeah, a little malfunction there. They are driving and the rain is coming down harder at this point.
Yes.
And so they have to drive to
the detour, seaweed clearing or fish pot building. On the way to the detour, Angie and Danny got kind of lost and they were like quickly changing their minds about directions, and they were in a roundabout and they took a sharp turn and they lost their crew that was behind them.
And they said, you're not supposed to lose your crew.
They definitely made mention of that being a very strong and hard rule, a very firm rule for the show. Do not lose your crew.
You have to keep them with you at all times. And then if you lose them, you have to wait for them to catch back up to you.
And so they were trying to radio the crew and they were out of range from them, mm-hmm. and they couldn't figure out what to do. So they ended up going to the next point, which was in Long Bay. And that was the detour spot. So they went from Riri's house to Long Bay to the detour spot. And as we mentioned, they lost their crew. And that ends up becoming a very controversial thing mm-hmm. for this episode. And typically Amazing Race fandom, I guess you would say, isn't as large or as noticeable as like Big Brother or Survivor. But I think from this episode, there's been a lot of notice and a lot of press and a lot of social media about this episode because it was just such an...
People were saying, like, why didn't they give them a new crew as soon as they got to the detour? Like, why did they wait so long to realize the crew wasn't catching up?
Right.
Why didn't the crew turn with them in the beginning? Like, why'd they go a different direction?
Right.
And why didn't they find the next place to go back to them?
Yeah. So there were just a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. And what we're finding out, we had a chance to talk to Danny and Angie recently, which I hope you can check out. We did find out that we got a little bit more info and some context to some of that. The other thing I noticed, too, from the drive from Rihanna's house to the detour spot at Long Bay Beach, is that Shane and Juan, they did a really good job of communicating with each other because there were some mistakes and Shane was getting on himself a little bit about that. Juan had made some mistakes and was getting on himself a little bit about that. And Shane was really just helpful and be like, you know what? We have no control now. What's done is done. Let's move forward. I thought that was really cool of them, the way that they communicated. We just wanted to tell you about our new and exciting project. We just launched a YouTube channel that will have great travel shorts for your family. We're calling them Travel Bites. You can find our new channel at youtube.com/@thetarpitpodcast.
And don't forget to click subscribe and ring the bell to receive notifications every time we post a new video.
Okay, so the teams arrive at Long Bay Beach, and there's two detours that they can choose from.
Seaweed clearing or fish pot building.
Okay, and so how would you describe the fish pot building one?
The fish pot building one is they have to build this trap out of like sticks and chicken wire, like chicken coop wire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a trap that you throw in the water and it has this tube where fish can swim in, but then they can't get back out.
Right. And how would you describe seaweed clearing?
So seaweed clearing was like you had this barrel and you had a wheelbarrow too. So you would have to put the seaweed into the wheelbarrow and then put it into the barrel. And it had to be like almost overflowing.
And the wheelbarrow was like all the way across the beach.
Right. So the spot where the wheelbarrow and the barrels were was way across the beach in length from where the seaweed was that you were supposed to collect. So basically, it had them running back and forth. So one was physical, right? And then one was more sort of engineering and tedious. And it almost looked to me like a crab or a lobster trap.
Yeah.
The way it was done. The only team that picked the seaweed clearing was Shane and Juan.
Well, they're very fit and physical. So they hammered it out really fast, too.
Yeah, I think the thinking behind that was it's a physical one. If we can hurry up and knock it out, then it might jump ahead, because they knew they started out behind after Juan had food poisoning the last episode.
So if I could choose one, I would choose seaweed clearing, because in the description that Phil gave you during the episode, Phil said that it makes it harder for turtles to lay their eggs. So I feel like it would be good for those cute little turtles.
Yeah, and the fish pot clearing one, all the other teams did that. So at least we got to see both detours in action, because I believe last episode or maybe two episodes ago,
everyone picked the same detour,
right? So that was nice that we at least got to see the options in action.
At the fish pot building one, Rod and Letitia were so confused on like what they were missing. But on the example, it was really obvious that they were missing the corner sticks on each one. But Rod kept reinforcing it and reinforcing it. And it was really sturdy, but I think that's what they thought. It was too weak.
The other thing that I noticed too was that Cesar and Ricky, who arrived first, because they were first, they picked the station that was closest to the example.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really smart. So they didn't have to get up.
They could see the close details from where they were.
Right. They didn't have to get up and walk around and try to figure out what was going on. But yeah, I remember the Rod and Letitia part, and they kept missing the corners, and they thought it was more about the construction.
Like that the stability of it.
Right. But, and they're like, oh, this is so stable. And it was, super tight, but they just didn't have those corner pieces in.
And also with the chicken wire, it kept cutting people.
Oh, yeah. Like Amber.
Everyone was talking
Amber's
about how
fingers
they got cut.
Were like bleeding.
Yes, that's true. Everyone kept talking about how they kept getting poked or cut or bleeding. That was pretty intense. And that looked like it would hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed too, when Shane and Juan were doing the seaweed clearing, is that, and I noticed this because we live near beaches. So we're pretty familiar with the ocean and with the beaches, is that when they were wheeling the barrel, when they were pushing the wheelbarrow, that they stuck to the wet sand part near the shoreline.
Which is good.
And it's easier because it's so compact, right? And so firm to roll on or run on, instead of the loose, drier sand where it would be really hard to push that. So that was really smart on their part.
And also, in the seaweed clearing, you don't get cut.
True. Right.
They didn't get
running
cut.
Running on sand is hard regardless, even if it's wet or dry.
It is. It is. But I thought that was really smart because they had the wheelbarrow with the wheel. And said that would have been a little bit easier, or at least you could have more control over it. Because in the loose, dry sand, it would have just went everywhere.
Around.
Right. Yeah. So they did a really good job. And they plowed through that detour.
It took them like two trips and they finished it all.
Mm-hmm. And that actually bumped them up because they pushed through so well that bumped them up where they were moving from one of the last teams to now one of the first teams to get past the detour. And Ricky and Cesar, as usual this year, this season, kind of busted through it and did a good job. And they were the first ones out from the fish pot building. And then at the time, this is where also part of that controversy of Danny and Angie, they arrive to the detour and they wait for the crew.
They have to wait for like 45 minutes.
They have to wait for their crew. And then you hear Danny say, oh, the crew arrived. Mm-hmm. And so then they get out and they were penalized. They had to wait because, again, you can't leave your crew. So they had sort of a time penalty for that they had to wait for their crew for. And then once they arrived, or once a crew was there, then they got to leave. And so they did that. But that pushed them back because they actually were ahead of the pack. Like we said, they started in that first wave and it made them push them down to where they were one of the last teams starting that detour, the fish pot building.
Yeah.
So after the detour, they then have a clue where they have to go to Hastings Rock. And that was this really gorgeous spot on the beach with these amazing rocks and just this beautiful water. Mm-hmm. It was like turquoise. It was so pretty. And they had these really cool guys walking around on stilts. and that was nice too. So they had to go to the pit stop and the teams that...
But before we get to all of that, I just have something about the ride there with Letitia and Rod.
Oh, they got stuck in the ditch.
Yeah.
Rod had to jump out and push the car. He's like, That's what being strong does.
Yeah. They actually named the episode after that because that was so funny. He literally just hopped out, pushed it around like his little toy and just said, hey.
That's what being strong do.
Yeah.
That's what being strong will do.
So they arrived at the pit stop. Who was the first team that arrived?
Ricky and Cesar. And Emma, do you remember what the prize was?
They won $7,500 each.
So this is their first place this season.
Five first places and three second places.
Yeah. And That's insane. I've heard from other fan groups and podcasts and different things that that makes them, I think, one of the strongest teams to ever be on the show of any season.
Because they haven't gotten lower than second place.
No, they haven't. That's crazy. They are Five first, three second powerhouse.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for them.
Shane and Juan got second. Amber and Vinny got third. Yvonne and Melissa got fourth. Rod and Leticia got fifth. And Danny and Angie got eliminated.
They did. And a lot of it had to do with that time penalty where
they
had to wait for
their crew. That's why people were so mad about it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It caused a lot of controversy. But Danny has addressed that in social media. And also, we had a chance to talk to them, like I said. And we had that dropped sooner than later because we wanted to get it out there because he kind of gives a little context to some of those things and explains that they're okay. They're moving forward. So, and also it was a penalty because they lost their crew and they weren't supposed to. So it was a really good interview that we had with them. And we hope everyone can listen to that.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.